People all around us are desperate for hope. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to continue sharing the gospel with those in need.
How many of you are like me? Something's going on in your life, men, and you need God's help with it. Well, I'll tell you right now, you cannot be wrong with your wife and right with God. And you cannot be at odds with your wife and get down on your knees and have the effectual prayer life that you need to have. And God says, I want you to honor your wife, that your prayers be not hindered.
The world is changing, but as Christians, our directive stays the same. God has not called us to compromise or complain about the culture. He has called us to continue. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Continue, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants us to continue developing through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. People all around us are desperate for answers, and we must continue to take the light of the gospel to those lost in culture's darkness. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Continuing in Godly Living.
Why should a husband honor his wife? Let me give you three quick reasons. First, because the Bible speaks of her as the weaker vessel. Now, ladies, before you take offense at that, let me help you understand. This does not mean that you are intrinsically weaker intellectually or even spiritually. In fact, many times, if every husband in here was honest, he'd say, my wife was more spiritual than I was at that moment. My wife is a godly wife. She practiced grace when I would not have practiced grace. It's not speaking about the fact that you are somehow inferior to your husband. The primary reference of this phrase is to the physical nature of a woman. And in most cases, there is an instance to be shown here where the wife physically is going to need the assistance of her husband. And God says, give her the honor. Don't treat her like someone that's just your beacon's mover that moves stuff around. But you help her and you show honor to her in those cases. And she is the weaker vessel. Secondly, you want to honor your wife because she is a fellow heir of salvation. Look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Now, simply stated, each of you are equally accepted in the eyes of God through Jesus Christ. Jesus shed his blood to cover your sin. You are now joint heirs together in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. In other words, God doesn't have one value on the male soul and one value on the female soul. God says she is as important, she is as valued to me as you are to me, and I shed my blood for her, and I want you to treat her as an equal part of the family of God, right? And I don't know what it is about sometimes guys will go to work and they're all nicey-nicey to a secretary or all friendly to somebody at church, and then they treat their wife like she's something less. And God says, I want you to honor your wife because she's a joint heir in Jesus Christ. She is one that I shed my blood for. Then thirdly, and get a hold of this, fellas. Some of you have seen it before, but look at the last part of verse 7. That your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. Now, in the Old Testament, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, then my prayers are hindered. The Lord will not hear me. But here it says, if you're not right with your wife, your prayers are hindered. Now, how many of you are like me? Something's going on at work. Something's going on with the family. Something's going on in your life, men, and you need God's help with it. Anybody? Or you got it all wrapped up? How many of you need God's help with something, all right? I do. Well, I'll tell you right now, you cannot be wrong with your wife and right with God. And you cannot be at odds with your wife and get down on your knees and have the effectual prayer life that you need to have. And God says, I want you to honor your wife that your prayers be not hindered. Matthew 18:19. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So God says, I want unity in that family. The world all around you, yeah, it's angry, it's falling apart. But we got to have a place where we can come with dignity and respect and love, and where we can encourage one another in the home. And then he speaks to the Christian community at large. And as we close, notice verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Now, what do we see here? We see the scope going from the family out to the community. And God says to the Christian community, look, the world out there is hateful. Nero is hateful. The Roman soldiers are hateful. Taxes are high. Everyone's at each other's throats. But Christians need to be different in this situation. And in the community, there should be a testimony. And when they look at the Christians, they should see the difference that Jesus Christ has made. And nothing is more harmful to the Christian name and to the testimony of Christ than when Christians act against the Bible. The devil loves it when an evangelist or a pastor falls into sin. The devil loves it when a Christian family breaks up. The devil loves it when Christian teenagers take drugs. You know why? Because the devil can say to the whole world, see, it doesn't work. It's not real at all. That's why God says, I want my church to be real at the baseline. And he gives us six characteristics. And the first one is unity. He says, I want you to be of one mind. I want you to be of one mind. And let me just tell you, nothing more ridiculous than when one Christian disagrees with another Christian and they go to their unsaved friends at work and talk about it. How's that going to help this guy to ever get saved? God says we need to have a unity. We need to pray through these things and be of one mind. And then he says we need to have compassion, having your hurt in my heart. When the world looks at the church, that they would see us as being people of compassion. I think of our bus ministry that every week is bringing hundreds of children into Lancaster Baptist Church. Children whose parents are many times strung out on drugs and children coming from difficult backgrounds. And they're hearing about Jesus and they're receiving instruction. They're receiving meals and encouragement. And they're receiving the compassion of the church. And this is what God wants the community to show forth. And then thirdly, he says, having compassion, but also notice, love as brethren. This word brethren. Brethren speaks of that fraternal Philadelphia love, loving one another as brethren and encouraging one another and showing the love that we have for the Lord and for one another. A while back, I bought Terry a little gift, and she later told me that the gift itself did not mean as much to her as the way that I looked her in the eye when I gave it to her. And I thought about getting a refund for the gift, but then I thought that could blow the whole thing, so... But you know, it's not just a gift, it's the heart with which it's given. God says, I want my people to be characterized by love. What did Jesus say? That his disciples would be known by their love one for another. May I just say this to you? Everyone's different in the Christian family, but there ought not to be anybody that is a believer that you can't say, I love them in the Lord. I want God's best for them, grace to them. And then notice the fourth word is pity. And you see that here. It says here in verse number 8, be pitiful. Now some of you say, well, my husband is. He got that one right. That's not what we're talking about when we say pitiful. We don't mean ornery or terrible. The word pitiful means full of pity, full of pity. God says, I want my church to be full of pity. I want them to be tender-hearted. I want them to be easily touched and easily moved. It's amazing to me how many hurts come to Lancaster Baptist Church. People who've had the hurt of a family separation. People who've had the hurt of illness. People who've had the hurt of losing a job. The list goes on and on. Drugs are epidemic in this society. And if we're not careful, the worldly attitude is, well, you deserve what you have. But God says, I want you to have pity on someone whose life is broken. I want my church to be a place that makes a difference. And then he says, fifthly, I want you to have courtesy one towards another. Look at verse number 8. Be courteous. Be courteous. Let's say that together. Be courteous. Now, when you're out in the parking lot and someone cuts you off, remember this one on the way out of church, you know. Be courteous. D.L. Moody said, be humble or you'll stumble. You know, this ought to be a place of courteousness, and it ought to be taught. I love our teenagers at Lancaster Baptist, and we have so many young men that are just gentlemen. And I watched these 16 and 17 year old boys open the door for someone. I watched them as they share a hymn book. I watched them as they're showing courteousness. You don't see that out in the world. And it's a blessing to see that with young people. And then notice the final word is the word blessing. Look in verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. And I got to tell you, the world's really good at tearing one another down. Railing for railing. Oh, yeah? Well, I'll tell you, your mother. Oh. The world's just good at that kind of stuff. God says, here's what I want you to be good at. Look at it in verse number 9. But contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. God says, I want you to be good at blessing people. Now, to be truthful, we have to speak to issues that are difficult. But God says, I want you to learn how to bless people. Last Sunday night, we learned one of the phrases that Christians used in the first century when they saw each other. Specifically at Ephesus, the Christians said, grace to you. Grace to you. And God wants us as Christians to pray for grace and mercy upon one another. And God wants us to learn how to give blessings one to another. Now, we're here talking about how to continue. The world around us disintegrates relationally. God says, I want your relationships in Christ to continue. The priority of a strong testimony, he said, I want that to start in the family. And he said, secondly, I want you to have the priority of a spiritual heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth is going to speak. And thirdly, I want you to see the priority of spiritual leadership. Husbands, as your wife has that heart, as she's growing, I want you to grow. And there might be a husband here this morning that has never yet been won to the Lord Jesus Christ. There might be a man here that if you died today, you do not know that you would spend eternity in heaven. Many people spend their life in church, and you ask them, do you know if you died today that you would spend eternity in heaven? And they say, I think so, I hope so. But it's interesting what it says in verse 1. Notice this as we close. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be, what's the next word say? One. One. Sometimes we use the term soul winning. It's, you see, people are one to Christ. You say, well, the Holy Spirit's the soul winner. Absolutely. But apparently, he uses human instrumentality. If you're with me on that, say amen. In other words, this wife, by her godly testimony, can win someone over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there might be someone here today, and you've been watching your wife, you've been watching your husband, you've been watching some friend that you know, and you see Jesus in them, and you're not sure that Jesus is in you. And today would be that day when you need to say, I've had some religion, but I'm not sure that if I died, I would go to heaven. I want to come to Jesus by faith, and I want to be saved by faith today. Some of you men, you're so fortunate to have a wife who lives out these verses, but it's time for you to step up and take that spiritual leadership and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today. And I want to encourage you today, if you don't know the Lord, that you would be won to the Lord today by the love of Jesus who shed his blood for your sin. I want to encourage you today. The foundations are stumbling and crumbling, whether it be at the state or whether it be at the federal level. But God says, in the midst of all of that, with Nero in charge, I want you to have something healthy at the baseline. I want your family, your Christian relationships, to provide the nurture that you're going to need with all that's happening around you.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. and thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.